Shalom, everyone. More nations are joining France and the United Kingdom to potentially declare a Palestinian state this September. The media claims that Gaza children are starving and that famine is breaking out in Gaza caused by Israel are all found to be false. The Arab League, which met this last week, surprisingly has condemned Hamas for the October 7 attack and is calling for Hamas to disarm. The latest word on annexation going on in Israel and what's happening in the government of Israel about that will change the map of Israel. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, August the 1st of the year 2025. Here's the news for the week. We announced to and shared with you last week that France is stepping up and wants to call for a Palestinian state. I'm not quite sure exactly what they have in mind because, of course, we know the situation of Palestine that's in the land. Along with Israel, there is no statehood there. There's no government of Palestine. There's no set region for a state to be formed. But anyways, they want to call for statehood, and they've been trying to encourage the United Kingdom to join them. This last week, United Kingdom did indicate they're planning on joining France this September. Again, if the humanitarian aid isn't taken care of and so forth, and if they don't end the war and Israel plead for peace, well, then they're going to declare Palestinian statehood. I don't know why they think that's going to affect Israel, but that's what they're doing. Now, going hand in hand with that, Canada has weighed in, and they've said that they're going to join with France and the United Kingdom, and they also might declare a Palestinian state this September and join with them. Australia has also mentioned and said it's inevitable that there will be a Palestinian state. They didn't specifically state September, but they're joining in the effort. And again, what is this to accomplish? It's not going to force Israel to change anything about what their goals are. All it's doing is rewarding the Hamas terrorists and encouraging them to continue in their resistance against Israel. And that's what the government of Israel and the United States are saying to these nations. You know, the cause and effect of their action is completely misdirected. Now, the reason why they're calling for it is because of the humanitarian concerns of trying to support the Palestinian people in the midst of the war. And they believe that Israel has intentionally done harm to the people. In fact, their definition of genocide, we have just learned, they think genocide means that you come in during a time of war and you disrupt the daily schedule of the Palestinian people. You know, they don't get to go to the store and shop the way they used to go. They don't get to go to the schools that they used to go to or the mosque. And they believe that if you disrupt the daily routine, then that's genocide against the Palestinian people. Excuse me, folks, this is a time of war. And in war, this is what happens. It disrupts everything that happens in a nation for it. But then instead of calling it a legitimate war, they're calling it genocide and accusing Israel of it. Part of it also has to do with just flat out opposing Israel and opposing Netanyahu and their liberal positions. They never have agreed to an Israeli state or the definition of trying to get along with the Palestinians. Rahm Emanuel, who is a politician here in the United States, by the way, he's one of the leading Democratic candidates that's being looked at in the next presidential election. He's the only one that really has any strong capability to potentially take the lead for the Democrats. He's also spoke out, and this is part of his campaign to start his presidential motions, and he's decided to lay at Israel's doorstep all the blame for the war in Gaza. And he flat came out and just said, well, you have to lay all this at Israel's doorstep. They're to blame for everything going on. Now, let me just take a quick, brief history review here for you. I want you to go back to October 7th of 2023 with me. If you'll recall, there was this incredible surprise attack that came from the part of the Palestinian terrorists, Hamas, that came out of Gaza. They broke through the border areas. They had numerous attacks. They paraglided in. They took motorcycles in. They rushed in to these unarmed Jewish kibbutz and small towns that are down in southern Israel, attacked the soldiers' outposts, and proceeded to wantonly slaughter and kill some 1,200 people. They also took hundreds of hostages. There was widespread rape. There were babies being killed, people being slaughtered, and the whole process. Israel was slow to respond. In fact, there was a lot of concern on Israel's part about being prepared for such an attack. It doesn't appear that they were. They thought that Hamas and the Palestinians were going to be calmed down. And since then, while we've had this legacy of the number of Israeli civilians that have been killed and the hostages that were taken, and many of dead bodies are there in Gaza that belong to Israel. And then, of course, Hamas started launching missiles into Israel. Hezbollah up in Lebanon also joined with them, and they started launching missiles into Israel as well. And hundreds of missiles and rockets were flying into Israel all over the place, air raid sirens going off. Israel had to go into immediately military operations to defend themselves, including airstrikes that were in the Gaza Strip, airstrikes in Lebanon. And the IDF put together their forces and they began to enter the Gaza Strip to go in and, by the way, take out the launch areas for the rockets. And they discovered all these underground tunnels that for years Hamas had been planning for this. They built all these underground tunnels where they could store weapons and they could hide, and it was a mess for the IDF to come in and try to deal with them in the situation there in Gaza. Life in Gaza at that point became very difficult, primarily because Hamas targets were everywhere. They were in buildings that had civilians. They would take civilian areas like hospitals and other schools, and they would set up operations there, launching rockets from there, and Israel would come in to retaliate and to get them. And suddenly Israel was having to justify all the bombing raids, and they were claiming, Hamas, of course, were claiming that many civilians were being killed, and we heard all about the inflated numbers of Hamas claiming that thousands of Palestinian civilians were being killed. Israel is doing everything they can to protect the civilians. They were dropping leaflets, sending phone calls into areas, telling them to escape before they would go in and hit a particular area. And all of this was going on with Israel trying to basically fight with one hand tied behind their back, and Hamas exploiting and committing war crimes left and right in fighting against Israel. Well, that struggle went on for several months and resulted in a number of small ceasefires. They would have a ceasefire for a little while. Some of the hostages would be released. And if you recall, some of those staged things in which the hostages were brought back, Hamas made a big show of it when they would release them, turn them over to the Red Cross, and then come across to Israel. And there was a hope that this process of fighting and releasing hostages and having ceasefires was going to continue until we could get all the hostages back. And that was a primary concern by the Israeli citizens, to get the hostages back. Now, the government of Israel from the very beginning said, we've got to stop this activity that's going on, because they saw a confederation being led by Iran, Hamas down in Gaza, Palestinian terrorists in the West Bank, the Hezbollah up in Lebanon, proxy groups with Iran over in Iraq, and so forth. All of them a multi-front war attacking Israel in a variety of ways, with drones, with rockets, missiles, and terrorist attacks going on widespread all over the place. So Israel had their hands full trying to deal with all of this. U.S. and others basically would show support for Israel. Oh yeah, they have the right to defend themselves. But anytime Israel would show great force in taking something out, if they were able to successfully hit an area very strong, all of a sudden U.S. and other nations were complaining that Israel was being too aggressive, they were harming too many civilians, and there were many false reports about Israel attacking civilians when in truth, in fact, it didn't happen at all. One in particular, I'm sure you remember, is that Hamas launched a rocket. It didn't make it out of Gaza. It fell back into the parking lot of a hospital and killed a couple of Palestinians in the parking lot. And they claimed, of course, that Israel had bombed the hospital and that Israel had killed hundreds of people, when in truth, in fact, it was a Hamas rocket that actually fell and hit there as well. So let's fast forward, and Israel began to carry out a strategy of taking out the Hamas leaders. And instead of trying to just go after anybody that was Hamas, they tracked the Hamas leaders, did strategic strikes, went in and began to take out the key leadership. And if you remember, the leadership of Hamas was running around, being chased around by Israel, and ultimately they got him. Israel also, in dealing with the leadership that was up in Nasrallah, executed a well-planned multi-year plan and set off these electronic pagers that the Hezbollah leaders were using in Lebanon and Syria, and suddenly they answered a post that came up on their pager, and the pager blew up. And they basically took out the leadership of the Hezbollah all in one fell swoop. And the world was shocked about how capable the Israeli intelligence network was to be able to pull off that attack. Well, that changed the whole pallor, if you will, of the war in Lebanon with Hezbollah. And it was followed up by Israel coming in and pinpointing where Nasrallah was, specifically in Beirut, and coming in with a specific bombing mission in which they went in and bombed him and got him down in his underground compound and were able to eliminate him. Well, Iran couldn't allow that to go by. They have to now weigh in. Before that, they were just issuing a lot of hot rhetoric and causing Israel to be frustrated with all of their proxies. So Iran decided they have to retaliate. So they decided to launch a bunch of ICBM missiles and drones, and pretty much knew it was coming. And so Israel and the U.S. defended that successfully. U.S. Navy and other forces, Persian Gulf, shot down a lot of these missiles. And in fact, there were several hundred of these ICBMs that were shot down. It was a kind of a singular salvo strike. Israel was able to defend themselves successfully from it. And Israel, of course, now said, well, you guys did that to us, we're going to have to respond to you. And so, tit for tat, the war continues to go on. So Israel waited until the right moment, and Israel then launched this tremendous airstrike on Iran. And they went in and took out their air defense system. It was a single action. They just took out all their air defenses, and basically they were defenseless against any future attack by Israel. Now, of course, Iran wasn't acting like they were defenseless. They still were issuing as much negative rhetoric as they could. But it was very clear at this point that Hamas was running out of missiles and rockets. Hezbollah was running out of the will to fight, and they were running out of missiles and rockets. And Iran had shot some of theirs, and it hadn't done any good. And all of a sudden, the whole strategy Iran had decided to put against Israel of overwhelming them with missile and rocket attacks, followed up by a ground invasion. Hezbollah got the horse in front of the wagon on this deal. And all of a sudden that plan is not working at all. So now we start into, again, new hostage ceasefire and negotiations to bring them back. And Hamas becomes more and more entrenched. The reason is because it became very clear that Israel's goal in dealing with Hamas and Gaza was they're going to eliminate Hamas. We're going to get our hostages back, but Hamas is not going to be anymore. And once Hamas began to understand that and believe that, well, then they began to take the hook. Well, we can't give all the hostages back, because as soon as we give the hostages back, Israel's going to come and kill all of us. So it almost became a stalemate in that regard. Israel then did massively respond to Iran and came in and launched a whole series of airstrikes, multiple airstrikes on Iran, and took out and hit their nuclear weapons sites, the missile bases that they had, their missile factories, took out their military targets. Hundreds of targets were hit by Israel, and Israel surprisingly established air superiority over Iran, and in fact set up a safe corridor all the way in to all of the nuclear sites. And the U.S. decided to join with Israel in let's get something done about Iran, let's take out their nuke capability. And so we saw the U.S. send their B-2 bombers and a whole series of Tomahawk cruise missiles being launched, and they went in and hit the nuclear sites and used the bunker busters against them. Well, almost immediately thereafter, we saw Iran very quickly agree to a ceasefire for that. So we have this ceasefire, no more missiles flying into Israel, no more attack on U.S. bases, and the U.S. is not attacking Iran. Israel wasn't going to attack Iran. So suddenly all the attention now shifted back to Gaza. So the IDF comes back and wants to go to work on Gaza and get the hostages back and so forth. But something changed. And essentially what changed was, since we got the issue with Iran kind of to a preliminary conclusion, we want the whole war, the war to be over. We want the Gaza war to be over. We don't want war with Hezbollah anymore. We don't want war with Israel, with anybody anymore. Well, I'm in agreement. Israel's in agreement. U.S. wants that. Everybody wants that. Sounds good. But the problem is we got to get Hamas to surrender, and we got to get the hostages back. So to get Hamas to surrender, it meant that they had to find a way to eliminate Hamas, and they had to find a way to negotiate for the hostages. Trump and his chief negotiator have been in working on this furiously for several months now with no success. But what has happened is there has now been a shift. And the shift is now no longer to blame Hamas for what's going on, or blame Iran for what's going on, or blame them for the war they started, but to instead blame Israel. Let's get Israel to surrender and quit the war and to stop them. We can't stop Hamas, so let's stop Israel from having the war. We don't want a war anymore. Well, adding to that, of course, is the world's dislike of Netanyahu, and they dislike Netanyahu more than they dislike Hamas. So all of a sudden, all these nations are disliking Israel and Netanyahu, accusing them of genocide, accusing them of starving people in Gaza, accusing them of famine and doing harm to the Palestinian people, completely devoid of all the history that has taken place. And there's no blame for Hamas whatsoever, except, of course, when the Arab League met this last week and blamed them for it. Now, President Trump wants the war to end. He wants the hostages to come home. So he's kind of riding the fence of what the world is trying to do here. He's still supporting Israel, but he's still trying to understand where the world's coming from. Hamas, of course, has been putting out massive propaganda, and the media has been carrying it. They've been taking photographs of starving children or injured children from diseases in other locations, and claiming that these are photographs of children in Gaza. These are people in Gaza being harmed by Israel, being killed by Israel. And in fact, one of these photographs that got carried by the American media, New York Times, CNN, went full scale on this. Even Trump was duped. Even he said, well, you can't argue with the photograph. Well, actually, you can argue with the photograph if it's faked. Well, now the media in this last week, the New York Times, finally had to admit that the photos were faked, that the reports were fake, and it was all supplied by the Hamas medical organizations that was doing that. You'd think they would learn some lessons from them. No, still can't do it. No, we're still going to blame Israel. So now the latest crisis is getting aid properly distributed in Gaza for all of the different people. Now, Israel got the aid in there, but it was the UN's responsibility to distribute it. Well, that's where the problem's been, is there's been distribution problems, some of it because the UN doesn't want to go in. It's kind of dangerous to do this. Hamas keeps attacking it. Others are attacking and stealing the aid. And so there's all these stories of Israel saying, hey, guys, you know, Hamas is attacking their own people. They're stealing the aid. They're selling it back to the people. It's your problem. You know, it's the UN's problem to get this done. And, of course, the UN didn't want to admit to that. And so the other nations have decided to say, no, let's blame Israel for all of that as well. So that's the latest conflict that we have is, well, maybe they were fake pictures and maybe that wasn't true, but the aid problem we have going on in Gaza, we're still going to blame Israel for that. As I mentioned to you earlier, the Arab League met this last week for a two-state confab. They were supposed to be talking about the same things that France and the United Kingdom wanted to do. France and the United Kingdom came with a resolution trying to get them to back their idea of a Palestinian state. Are you ready for this? The Arab League wouldn't pass it. In fact, the Arab League came out and said, hey, guys, this October 7th war, that was caused by Hamas. Israel didn't start that. And Hamas should disarm and give the hostages back. That's the way you end the war. And the rest of the Western nations, you'd think they would listen to the Arab League on this particular plane. And France would begin to understand they don't understand what's going on, and they've all been played as well. I would remind everybody that France has a lot of Palestinians and Muslims living in their nation. As far as I'm concerned, if Macron wants to establish a Palestinian state, why doesn't he go ahead and take France? Let's rename France, call it Palestine, and he's been welcoming all kinds of Palestinians in. They can set up a Palestinian state there. I don't think he's in support of that, but if he really wants a Palestinian state, he could solve the problem and invite all the Palestinians to go to France. I'm sure they would love to do it. The U.S., in stepping back and looking at all this stuff that happened all week long with the Arab League and all the nations going on, called the entire affair a publicity stunt. I couldn't agree more. That's essentially what it was. So let's talk about something real that's happening in the land of Israel, and that is the word annexation. There have been discussions and non-binding resolutions passed in the Knesset to take Judea and Samaria, these are the West Bank regions of Israel, and to have Israel exercise sovereignty over and annex them into the nation of Israel. No longer will they be occupied Palestinian lands, including the Jordan River Valley. And just this last week, the suggestion was made, maybe we need to provoke Hamas into surrendering by telling them that if they don't hurry up and get this war over with, Israel will annex parts of Gaza. The particular parts that they are mentioning at the moment are the northern parts, including Gaza City, and Ben-Gvir and Smotrich, which are a couple of members of the Knesset, made the suggestion we should just go in and raise that city completely down to the ground, take it all the way out, take the entire foundation of the place out, rebuild completely. Because Israel is now beginning to get the feeling that the only solution in Gaza is for Israel to have to take responsibility for Gaza again to make it part of the land of Israel. So there's the first hint of annexation of Gaza taking place. How quickly is this annexation thing and how quickly could it take place? We're not quite sure, but it's definitely a hot topic. It's moving from the back burner to the front burner of discussions inside of Israel. We know for a fact that many GOP leaders in the Senate and in the Congress are in agreement with this. We know Mike Huckabee, the ambassador to Israel, is in agreement with this as well. There's a lot of support for Israel to be able to do this, despite what other Western nations are thinking at the moment. In the next 2 weeks, the U.S. and Iran are going to begin negotiations again over the Iranian nuclear program. The U.S., of course, is wanting to go in with the IAEA and to set up the program so that Iran can't build nuclear weapons. They've made that a very clear point. You're not going to have them. The foreign minister for Iran is saying that it's Iran's inherent right to be able to enrich uranium, and they want to maintain that right in the negotiations. Trump quickly, when he was questioned by the press about what would the U.S. do if Iran decided to start rebuilding a bomb, Trump said, well, we'll go in and bomb them again. And that ended that conversation very quickly. There's no question that the negotiations with Iran will continue on. They'll probably start in 2 weeks, and it will drag out on and on and on. There'll be no clear winner. The conflict will continue, and there will be no resolution. We still live in a world that's full of wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilences, hatred, violence. The world has lost its moral compass. These are the very things that Yeshua spoke of when he was asked what would be the signs of the end. However, these things that we're seeing are not signs of the end, and the end is when the great tribulation comes. They are signs of the sorrows that are in the world that will lead to the great tribulation. So let me say this very succinctly for all of you. The great tribulation has not started yet, but we are on the fast track heading toward it, because these many sorrows are what's supposed to lead us up to the tribulation that will come in our days. This is where we're at right now. And going back into my youth, someone that I used to admire, they would give the news, and I would watch the evening news on CBS on our black and white TV as a kid. We used to watch Walter Cronkite, and he would tell us what's going on in the world every night. And he would sign off by saying, and I'm sure you remember this,
and that's the way it is.
And that's the way it is today for us as well. I want you to continue to pray, like, subscribe, comment on our YouTube channel. And let me make a recommendation for you. For those of you who are on the YouTube channel and you don't like those frequent commercials, we have no control over that. If you don't like those frequent commercials that come on the YouTube channel, you can go to Lionel Lamb TV, subscribe there. It's a free subscription, no commercials. You can see this broadcast and other broadcasts, no commercials like YouTube. And if you want to watch all of our other programs, why, you can also sign up for the subscription to see all of them that are part of it. All of our weekly programs are available on as podcasts. You can listen wherever you go. You can also get a free subscription to Yavo Magazine. Here's the latest one for this month. Follow us on all the social media platforms. And please pray about registering for Tabernacles. It's open now. Go to tabernaclesevent.com. This is our big event where we invite brethren from all over the country and the world to come in and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles for 8 days with us here in Oklahoma. Many guest speakers, musicians. It's a wonderful time for the family to worship the Lord. And we'd love to have you come out and join us this October. Shabbat shalom to all of you.